Our text for this next installment of Lectionary at Lunch comes to us from the Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. In this 12th chapter, we read of, first, an anointing of Jesus' feet, an anointing of Jesus for death. Then we read of the events and circumstances of Palm Sunday. All this took place, according to St. John, on the 10th day of Nisan, 6 days before the Passover, on a sixth day, that is, before the Passover, for the purpose of doing the usual, what normally would have been done on the 10th of Nisan. All Israel would have gathered on the 10th of Nisan for the purpose of the week-long observance of the ritual of the Passover. On the 10th, at the beginning of the week, at the beginning of this ritual observance, all Israel would have selected for itself a lamb for sacrifice. So, on this appropriate day, Jesus was anointed for death. Jesus entered into this holy city, Jerusalem, and was received by the nation with words coming from a conspicuous source. Before we get to that, however, let's begin with verse 12. On the next day, te apauron. The expression is a substantized adverb, feminine singular and dative, for the purpose of encouraging us to think of the noun hemera. The dative is a dative of time when. On the next day, then, the large crowd, ha'ochlos palus, which had come, ha-elthon, to the feast, estein he-ortein, the feast of the Passover, heard, akousantes, that Jesus was coming, hati erchetai ha-Jesus, to Jerusalem. They took, elabon, branches, tabaya, branches of palm trees, ton phoenikon, and went out kai exaelthon for the sake of a meeting, for the sake of a face to face ace hepantesin with him auto, and they engaged in the activity of crying out kai ekraugadzon is an imperfect of kraugadzo. Here the imperfect is likely inceptive. They cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, is the meaning of the expression. Blessed, eulogemenos, is the one who comes, ha erchomenos, in the name en onomate of the Lord, Kuriu, even, kai, the King of Israel, ha bazalus to Israel. Now, the crowd's manner of greeting Jesus is of some significance. All Israel would have also been accustomed to observing the Hallel with their ritual observance of the Passover. The Hallel was a select portion of the Psalms 113 through 118. Now, it's especially the last of these psalms, Psalm 118, that is of significance here, for the crowd is greeting Jesus with words selected from this psalm of hope, this psalm that so poignantly speaks to Israel's hope for its redemption over against the nations, for a day when God's salvation would come to all of Israel. So with the words of that very psalm of hope and expectation, Israel receives Jesus on Palm Sunday, saying, save now, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Now with all of this kind of informing their intention, Jesus responds in conspicuous terms. Verse 14, and Jesus found, Hiron de ha Jesus, a donkey, onaraon, and sat ekathedzan, on it, ep autal, just as it is written, or just as it stands written, kathos estin gegramenon, fear not, me fabu, daughter of Zion, thugater seon, behold, idu, your king, ha bazalus su, is coming, erchitai, sitting, kathemenos, on the foal of an ass, on the foal of a donkey, epipolon anu. Jesus' response to the crowd's manner of hailing him and welcoming him from the psalm, from Psalm 118, this psalm of hope, this psalm of expectation, this psalm with associations to it that could have easily suggested to the people hailing Jesus that day that they were intending to incite Jesus to be exactly what that psalm was expressing a hope for. In response to all of that, Jesus finds for himself not a war steed, not a war stallion, not a steed indicative of the hope of the people in a Messiah who would overthrow the nations, overthrow the current nation so much in control of their lives and of the region. Instead of donning a stallion that would have suggested to the people that Jesus was embracing their militaristic hope, instead he finds for himself and sits upon not just a donkey, but the foal, the colt of a donkey. Jesus here is meaning to encourage the crowds and his followers, of course, to interpret his person and his purpose in a fashion consistent with his cruciform purpose. But, of course, neither the crowds nor his followers will comprehend any of this at this time. They will instead view Jesus with a certain amount of perplexity, wondering why it is that their manner of greeting him that day resulted in him selecting the steed for himself that he did. In fact, it certainly appears that the evangelist here is working to strengthen the suggestion of an unexpected response with his reference to a foal of an ass, a polon anu, in the Septuagint. There's only one place in the entire Septuagint that that this expression appears. It appears in Genesis 49 in association with the blessing being given to Judah by a father who is soon to leave this world. Judah is offered a blessing of conspicuous kind. In Genesis 49, it is said of Judah, a ruler shall not fail from Judah, nor a prince from his loins, until there come the things stored up for him, and he is the expectation of the nations, binding his foal to the vine, and the foal of an ass to the branch of it. Here's the kicker at the very end. How shall this person achieve the purposes of God? He shall wash his robe in wine, and his garment in the blood of the grape. So Jesus, according to John, acted in this way to point to his cruciform purpose, but those around him understood this not. Verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things. Tauta uk egnoson autu hoi mathetai. They did not understand these things initially. Ta proton. The adjective here is neuter singular and accusative, as is the case when neuter singular accusative adjectival forms of adjectives function as adverbs. Initially then, his disciples did not understand these things. But, al, when Jesus was glorified, hote edoxaste Jesus, then they remembered, tote amnestesan, that these things, hote tauta, had been written about him, ein ep autu gegramena, and these things, kai tauta, they had done, epoisan, to him, auto. So the time will come when Jesus' followers actually comprehend the events and circumstances of Palm Sunday, why it was that the crowd greeted him with words from the Hallel, with words from Psalm 18, why Jesus responded as he did, pointing forward to a time when he would do the work of cleansing the select people of God with the very blood of his own person. He would wash his people by his blood, and all of this is in fact being indicated this early on at the very beginning of the week, but it wasn't until Jesus was risen from the dead that Israel then comprehended, or the followers of Jesus, that is, finally comprehended what it was that Jesus was pointing to, had been pointing to all along. Verse 17, the crowd that had been with him, let's see now, the verse begins with a verb. It is a form of the verb martireo. The subject follows. The crowd began to testify. It's an imperfect of martireo. Therefore, the crowd began to testify. Which one? Ha'on, which was with him. Ha'on met auton, when he had summoned Lazarus. Hote ton Lazaron ephonesen, out of the tomb ek tu meu, and raised him from the dead, kai egeren auton ek nekron. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, engaged in the activity of bearing witness. I mean, many had come that day on account of this last and summing sign that Jesus performs in chapter 11. They were there to see Jesus. They were there to see Lazarus. We know that the religious establishment has also been responding to all of this with fear for their position, with fear for their own perceived understanding of the security of the nation. They're intending to kill Jesus to prevent this matter from getting out of control. They're intending to kill Lazarus as well to quash this uprising or this great reaction of the masses in response to the remarkable feat of Jesus. It's this sort of complexive picture of things with Palm Sunday in the text as Jesus marches or makes his way in the direction of the cross, the disciples not comprehending any more than the masses, the crowds greeting Jesus, thinking that a great servant, instrument of the Lord is before them. They're ready to go with him, but of course their readiness is one that is conditioned by their own understanding and expectation of what Messiah would ever be. The religious establishment in turn is also responding to Jesus, conspiring now to exterminate him and any other influence close to him so that they can control this whole matter to their favor. All these things are happening simultaneously, all these things are indicated here in chapter 12. For this reason, we're into verse 18, the crowd met up with him, hup'eintasen auto ha'achlos, because, hati, they had heard ekusan, and then follows an infinitive of indirect discourse. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was this. For this reason, the crowd met up with him because it had heard that. Pepoe kenai is an infinitive of poieo. Sometimes infinitives are shorthand for a clause of indirect discourse. That's the case here. Verse 18 then specifies the reason for the crowds coming out to greet him. They'd heard about Jesus' last summing final sign, the raising of Lazarus. They went out to meet him then because they had heard Hate Ekusan, that he, auton specifies the subject of the infinitive, he had done this sign, tuta ta semeon. Therefore, verse 19, the Pharisees, hoi un pharisoioi, said upon to themselves, pros heautus, behold, theoreta, or this could actually be either an indicative or an imperative. They could be saying to one another, you know, look, check it out, behold this thing. Or the utterance could be simply, you know, an indicative one. You see, whether it's one or the other, hati following is a hati introducing a clause of indirect discourse again. See that, hati, you are gaining uk ophelaitai nothing, uden. Behold, ide. Here the interjection is followed, as it customarily is, by a nominative. Behold, ide, the world, hakosmos, has gone after him, apiso, autu, apelthen. So, you know, with this last verse of the text, once again, the narrative offers a, you know, a strong indication of the intention of the establishment Jews to eliminate this perceived problem by eliminating its you know, prominent prophetic personality. They're going to find a way to execute this Jesus. It's the beginning of the week. By the time we get to the end of the week, that conspiracy of theirs will be successful, at least in their own eyes. That conspiracy of theirs, Jesus in no way purposes to thwart. Instead, he knows exactly what is coming, and for this reason, he himself has come. With that, we'll end this installment of Lectionary at Lunch, and I thank you for your attention.